strike the lightning.
I just coughed and farted at the same time.
Did you pee too?
I probably did, to be honest.
I hope you didn't, because, you know, Kegels. Keep that shit tight.
I need to start doing my Kegels again. I think that's the real intro to the show. Welcome to Mouthy Broadcast, everyone. Are you doing your Kegels right now?
I did. As soon as I said it, I was like...
Everyone join us in Kegel exercises right now. Clench.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Release.
Hi, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Lauren.
I'm Peter.
Red door. Yeah, so obviously I'm still like recovering from the illness that kept us from doing show for a little bit. That plus a million other things that were going on at the time, Christmas, New Year's, Russian
New Year,
Russian block parties. And Peter's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Peter.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Peter. What'd you do?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what'd you do for your birthday, man?
Fuck it, dude. We went bowling.
Nice.
You went fucking... You fucked a dude? That's what yeah. I heard.
No, I mean, with Christmas and New Year's, like, I just kind of got overwhelmed with everything, and I just kind of forgot that my birthday was coming up. So I got a text message from Tyree, and she was saying, okay, for your birthday, we're doing this and this and this, and we're going to invite this... these people and these people, and then we're gonna go here for dinner. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
She's like the event coordinator in your life.
Yeah.
It's good to have a friend like that.
It's
like,
it's really great to have somebody who's just on top of shit and organized. Yeah,
she's like the real life Leslie Knope.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I kind of like fall into that position just because nobody else wants to do it. And I'm like, all right, I'll fucking organize the shit. I don't want to.
I feel like when I organize shit, it's always just like half-assed. Like, I'll get like a great idea and I'll make like the first two phone calls. But then like the follow-up is just like.
That's where it all falls.
Like, I'll get the party together, but like there's no decorations, there's no food, there's no booze, there's
or
no
you buy them all and just forget to put it up.
Yeah, like, hey guys, here's some decorations, you can just put them up.
It's a decorating party. So Tyree organized the shit for you. She got it together.
Yeah, I mean as far as organizing, I'm usually just like, we can just skip that, you don't need to do anything. But it was my birthday and people wanted to hang out. So, yeah, we all went bowling and it was cool because a lot of my friends have kids now, and it was a cool way to like get everybody to hang out and bring their kids along to have like a family friendly type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just as much fun to watch the kids try to bowl.
Oh Lord.
And I mean, at the end of the day, me and Oliver, a 4-year-old, were the top two bowlers.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Did you get the like the bumpers or whatever put up?
For the kids, yeah.
Yeah.
With me, I hardly bowl, but I got 2 strikes.
Wow.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And my friend Lauren came in from Sarasota, and she brought her kids with her, my godson Harvey and her daughter Ocean. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, because I thought she was bringing her fiance. And then we all went out to Chinese food later, and it was a place called Peter's Kitchen.
Nice. So do they make you like cook, or do they just give you like a, do they give you a discount? How does that work?
No, the service actually sucked.
I like, wonder if they're affiliated with Peter Chang's.
Probably not.
No, they're independent.
Okay.
But John and Val went there early to hold down a to hold down a table for us. And like they ordered some spring rolls and like they didn't get them for like 45 minutes.
Oh, holy God. Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was nice. I liked it. It was a nice birthday and I felt optimistic that 39 is going to be a good year for me.
Woo! Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
My last birthday is kind of a fucking bummer. I gotta make up for it.
Yeah, usually they are, but like since this last year, like I've gained this weird sense of confidence that I'm sort of like okay, this is a thing now.
It's really good to hear you say that, Peter. Like I'm really proud of you. I'm really happy for you, and like I'm glad that we get to be here and like cheer you on and coach you through it. And I hope that we do good as a positive influence for that.
No, you guys aren't at all.
Fine then, you fucking asshole.
Fuck you then. I see your point, but fuck you anyway.
No, that's awesome. When's your big trip coming up again? It's gonna be the summer?
Spring.
Okay. Oh wow. So it's getting closer.
Yeah.
I feel like the month has already kind of flown by.
Yeah.
That's already MLK weekend, guys.
Almost Malaise Monday.
I was like, speaking of which, happy Malaise Monday.
Well, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be after. Have we ever described the Malaise Monday thing on the show?
Talked about it, but I'm sure we've got new listeners. So Malaise Monday is a day that's usually a federal holiday or a day that most people have off work. And you're stuck at work. And it's like especially sour because it's a 3-day weekend and like you have to make work phone calls to places that are closed for the holiday.
Yes.
And like you get to like look on your Facebook timeline and see like people who went away for the 3-day weekend.
And like, look, we're going on a picnic today on my day off. Like, what are you doing on your day off?
And like a lot of people are out of work because like they have the excuse of staying home with their kids. And like, and you're just like, fuck it. Here I am. You know?
Here I am at work.
Here I am.
Mondays, am I right?
You just feel like Garfield.
Yeah.
Bring lasagna to work tomorrow.
I was going to say, maybe I should just like take lasagna with me.
Lasagna.
Lasagna. So I started my sketch class week before last at this
Speaking
point.
Speaking of positive things.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I told you guys I was wrestling with the idea of like spending that much money on it when like I have goals of like saving money this year.
Right.
But I got some money like for Christmas and that sort of thing. And they had a discount and, you know, all this stuff. And I was talking to Amanda about it and she was like, yeah, but you've been wanting to do this for a while. And this is like a self-improvement goal. And if that, I know you've said that one of your goals is to do things like that and to like get out of your comfort zone and you know, do some self-improvement. So that fits right in line with your goals. Like, don't worry about spending the money. And I was like, I was really happy that she put it that way for me because I was like, even after I signed up, I was like, God damn it. Like, this was a lot of fucking money that I could have, you know, paid off my credit card or something like that. But so I go in the class the first day and there's like, I think I was pretty early and there was like already 6 people there. And as like the time goes on and like we're getting ready for class, like 20 people signed up for this fucking class and everybody's like, I've taken this class before, or I've, you know, I know about this class. Like there's usually never more than like 10 at the most.
Fuck.
So
because it was on a deal, like how you got it on that special.
I think so. I think that had a lot to do with it. And if I hadn't been like, you know, I really wanted to do it at this time because I really kind of wanted to be able to use that knowledge that I'm learning from it to help write Bell and Dubs. So I didn't want to put it off for another 6 months or something until the next round of classes. You know, I really wanted to get in there. And then apparently, I guess, like, this is the time of year that a lot of people just do it because they don't have as many things going on as they do like in the summer and spring and that sort of thing. So like it, just a perfect storm of like a lot of fucking people signed up for this class. And I think it's been a while since they did the last sketch class too, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So I quickly got very overwhelmed by the amount of people in this class. Like, I'm sure like most of you, like at least us, we've been in rooms with other people who are funny and like, this is going to sound a little bit negative, but it's not like everybody's trying to like out funny each other and like kind of tag onto jokes and it just keeps fucking going. And sometimes I get very overwhelmed by like, just it, you know, just yeah. continuous.
Everybody trying to get in a
ha-has.
Everybody, like you said, trying to out funny the last funny.
Right. All the chuckleheads chuckling it up. But I learned a lot. Like the very first class, like we learned a lot. And there was a lot of things where I was like, you know what? Like I kind of knew all this, but it's nice to have it broken down into structure. And like I started watching sketch comedy shows. There's one on Netflix that I highly recommend to people to watch. I've only watched like an episode and a half, but Astronomy Club, it's really, really good. Like if you don't get hooked on that very first like opening sketch, don't even bother, because it was, you know, you'll know if it's like your type of humor. But whatever. So like I'm watching stuff now and I'm like breaking it down and like, oh, I see what they did here, like blah blah blah. But it's stuff that I kind of knew. It's nice having that structure and like knowing. So every week we have homework and we have to write a sketch based on whatever that was. And like the first week I had to write a 5-page sketch, which really cut into my Bell and Dubs time because I was still recovering from being sick and I couldn't focus on writing. The next week I go into class and the goal is to everybody brings in their sketch. All 20 of us bring in our sketch. We read these 5-minute sketches and then critique each other. It took the entire fucking class. Entire fucking class.
Like there's so many of you.
Yeah. It just took all the time. And
not fair. There should almost be a limit.
That's kind of what I was thinking. And yeah. I think that they never officially put a limit on it because they didn't have to.
Never had that problem.
Yeah. And I would imagine, hopefully after this class, they might say like, okay, we need to cap it at like
15.
Yeah. I was going to say like 10's probably optimal, but 15, you know, whatever. I mean, it's still a good class. We're still getting a lot out of it. But like last week we didn't really get like a official lesson because it was like the entire thing was taken up by critiques. And I learned a lot though, because like I'm listening to everybody else's critiques and I think I got as much out of what other people were being told is what they told me for mine. So,
which is awesome, which is exactly what's supposed to happen in a workshop.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah. It was really cool to like bounce this idea, you know, that sort of thing. So like he just put, we have a Facebook group where we get all of our, and we, you know, converse or whatever. And he just basically put our lesson in the Facebook group. And next week it's only like, we're doing commercial parodies. So, it's like a 1-page, you know, that's it. So it's really easy. It's not going to take like 3 hours. Like I didn't get home until I think 11:30 or something that night. And I went and wrote mine like the very next day. Like I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Because I'm basically using my class as a guinea pig for Bell and Dubs. For this one at least, because we write so many commercial parodies anyway. And I'm like, I have this fucking weird concept. And it's like deconstructing a commercial a little bit. In case we use it for Bell and Dubs, I don't want to like spoil the surprise. I'm not going to talk about it, but I don't know if it's going to work. Like, I don't know if it's going to play well in that context, and I want to see how it plays to an audience, you know,
as opposed to just somebody listening to Bell and Dubs.
No. I think it'll play. I think it'll actually play better in the group of people writing sketch comedy.
Because really?
I think people may see it as like, oh, I see what you did here. Like you broke down this thing and made the joke.
Yeah.
The joke, if that makes sense. Like, I'm afraid in Bell and Dubs, because Bell and Dubs is so fucking stupid that it might, like, it might not play as well, like, unless it's, I don't know, unless we somehow make this stupider, you know, much more stupider even.
Gotta get the family Chantel much more stupider.
Yeah. Yeah, I do need Karen to help make things are about family to get a lot more stupider.
About to get a lot more stupider.
That's the unofficial slogan for Bell and Dubs this year.
I will say, when I first got to read the skit, I really liked it. And then you made a change. You were like, hold up, I'm going to change it to this. And it was automatically much funnier.
Yeah.
Just that one little thing.
Yeah. And
the only other thing, I don't feel like this is a hang up for you right now, but I felt like when you first gave the breakdown after your first class, I was afraid that you felt maybe not intimidated, but like you were like, other people have a lot more experience than I do. Like, I think you made that comment. Mm-hmm. And I was worried for you because you are so funny. And you already have the right brain for it and you do it so well. Like, everything that you've done for Bell and Dubs and all your other, you know, but just your comedy sniping that you already do naturally. And I just hope that you don't feel like anybody else is better than you. Like, you absolutely deserve to be there.
This is what my problem is mostly, is that, like, I'm so used to working with other people on things that, like, I don't, like, it's weird for me to just sit down and write something on my own without being like bouncing ideas off of people and like, oh, what should I do here? Like, give me a push in this direction. Like, mm-hmm. like when Justin and I work on stuff, like we're usually sitting in the same room with laptops, even though we're working independently. Like, I might be like, hey, I'm stuck on this. What should we do with this? And he'll throw something out or he'll do the same thing to me. And so I'm like sitting there having to write something. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So that's been weird. And I don't know, like, it was funny. The first day of class, he also said that, I guess a lot of people are kind of intimidated by sketch. Cause a lot of people in that group were like improv people. Like, they've already done the improv class. They've gone through the whole course of, like, I think they have like 5 improv classes that you can go through. And I'm like, no, like 100%. I am much more comfortable writing than doing improv. Like, the idea of doing improv and like getting ready to go on stage and do the improv final graduation class, or like the final graduation is like a show.
Right.
The idea of doing that with improv, like, I get anxiety and like I freak the fuck out. Like, close to about the day that I started sketch class, I like one of my Facebook memories came up from like 6 years ago or something when Haley was doing improv. And I said something like, I want to sign up. Like, I was like, I'm going to do this before I check it out again. And I went to sign up and I filled out the form, and it got to the point that like I was about to send him the money, and I like freaked the fuck out and I just closed the laptop and quit. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, So I don't know, man. Like, maybe eventually I'll get to it. Peter, didn't you say you took improv classes? Like,
yeah, a while ago. It was all right, but I think with me, I like to have the time to spend time on working on something funny instead of just coming up with something off the top of my head.
Right. Which is weird because, like, we do that here, like, on this show. We're just coming up with shit off the top of our heads, but something about, like, being up on stage and having to do that, or, like, being even in a group, like, in for class or something, it freaked me out. Like, I'm gonna fail. I'm gonna say the wrong fucking thing. And, like, they're not gonna get what I'm saying, and I'm gonna fucking make the whole bit fail.
Well, also with improv, it's like, you know, you have the and then rule, and you're afraid of leading somebody like in a completely unfunny direction, and
right.
they don't know what to do. And
I right, just that, think, That's kind of what I'm afraid of.
I mean, for me personally, I just like having the time to think about writing something funny and then kind of finessing it and carrying it out as a sketch.
Right. I was about to ask, have you ever taken a sketch comedy class, or have you ever like thought about, you know, doing that?
I've thought about it given how much I love sketch comedy, but I just never have.
As I feel like you would really take to it, you know, considering like you're a writer anyway, you know.
I love stuff like The State and Mr. Show and Monty Python, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's funny, like the first day of class, we had to go around and like, what's your favorite sketch comedy show? And that's when I found out about Astronomy Club. Like I was probably like the sixth or seventh one in, and nobody had mentioned Monty Python yet. I'm like,
oh wow,
who the fuck are you people? And it was, I felt dumb because I was like, I remember like we had this whole discussion on the show like a year ago or something, like what's our favorite sketch comic, and I couldn't remember any of them other than Monty Python and I can't remember what else I said, but I couldn't remember any of them when I was in class. I was like, Key and Peele, Monty Python, and SNL, I guess. And then I was like, God, I'm such a fucking poser. I haven't watched SNL in like 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really worth watching anymore.
Well, that's the thing.
You just watch the clips that go viral and that's it.
Right.
Exactly. Did Kate McKinnon do something wacky? I'll watch that clip.
Yeah.
I've liked the openings that they've done lately. All the Democratic candidates, like Maya Rudolph has come back, and Woody Harrelson comes on as Joe Biden. Rachel Dratch came on to be Amy Klobuchar a couple times.
The Eddie Murphy episode was actually really good.
Yes, I watched the whole episode of that. I was trying to remember some of the ones that have.
I was like, oh, I miss funny Eddie Murphy. Like, where have you been?
Yeah,
I haven't watched that yet. Still, to be honest, and I really should, because I keep hearing that was a good episode. So.
It was really well done. Everything about it was well done, from the opening to the closing, and Lizzo was on that one too. So you should watch even just for her.
Nice. Nice. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm done.
Have you guys seen My Name is Dolomite?
Yes.
Dolomite is My Name?
Yes.
Yeah. I loved it so much.
What is that on?
It's on Netflix. Netflix. It's a movie where Eddie Murphy plays Rudy Ray Moore, who was the creator of my character.
Whoa.
And that's exactly how I like Eddie Murphy, where like he's funny but he's sincere,
right?
It's not just like wacky, like, yeah. Oh, I'm Eddie Murphy in a fat suit,
and know? it's like, dude, Eddie Murphy can act. Yeah. Like,
yes. And also the whole story is so interesting, like Rudy Ray Moore's life and how he got Dolomite as a character, and then as a movie, and then got it distributed. It's really incredible.
I met Rudy Ray Moore back in college.
Wow.
You're famous.
No, he did a show in Orlando, which was basically like one of the shows you see in the movie.
Yeah,
where he just
yeah.
tells like really dumb jokes that are just vulgar but funny. And I got a picture with him. Yeah, well, I asked his manager. I was like, can I get a picture with him? And the guy was like thinking about it. He's like, sure, $10.
Thinking about it. I don't know here.
So there's this picture of college age me with Rudy Ray Moore, and like I think I captioned it with I'm the one on the left.
Is it up on your Facebook?
I'd yeah.
like to see this picture.
Yeah, it's there.
Now I gotta go stalk your fucking Facebook. Jesus Christ.
Stalker.
Yeah.
Like in the picture from like 13 years ago.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go back to your earliest picture. I'm just gonna go through it. Just Like. You're going to block me by the end of the day. It's going to be, this is my goal. Get Peter to block me. 2020.
That would take a lot of work. Like, it takes a lot of work for me to block somebody.
So you're not easy like Billy Corgan?
No.
I have friends that will fucking block somebody just for no, I mean, not no reason, but just like, I don't like you. Yeah. You're a negative presence in my life.
Right.
And not just like unfriend, but just block entirely. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can see why, you know.
For me to hit that block button, there's got to be a fear.
We were playing video games the other night, and somebody rage quit on us, and we were just talking, like, and my friends were saying, like, you know, Peter would be the last person to ever rage quit something. Like, he would just stick around just to fuck with somebody instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I dig that. I usually just lecture people and then just not so much rage quit. It's like, you all suck, and here's why.
Well, like, in GTA, I used to... in GTA, if somebody, like, would, like, you know, just blow me up for some reason or whatever, I would just, like, start following them around and be like, hey, be my friend.
I love that. Like, so what I do in Red Dead, because I don't usually use the voice chat, like, in the game, I just go up and, like, give them thumbs up or wave, just like spamming the shit out of them, and then I'll respawn as quickly as possible, run directly towards them, and just hey, and just bug the shit, and they'll kill me again, and I just keep fucking doing it until I just piss off entirely. Actually, last time I did this, they tried to get me to join their posse. And I was just like, no, nah, fuck that. And I turned the game off. which reminds me, I don't want to go play Red Dead after this. I got to write. Yesterday I was writing and I was getting on a roll. And then Ben was like, hey, I got a solo lobby. Like, literally nobody's in here. And we had it without anybody else in the whole fucking thing for like 6 hours. And I wasted the entire day. Sold all my fucking moonshine, sold all my shit. There was animals everywhere. It was great. Anybody who plays Red Dead knows how fucking rare that is.
Did you take anybody for a trip with the train?
No, there was nobody in there. There's like, I mean, there was NPCs, but that's not as fun.
Yeah.
I gotta put up a link to that, to Justin's Twitch videos. So what we started doing.
It's so dumb, but it's so funny.
I think it's actually a digital hate crime. we like either lasso somebody or hogtie them. Peter might throw himself off the train and kill himself, and then we hogtie his body, lasso them, and then somebody will drive the train, and we drag the dead bodies along behind the train, and we'll just make an entire loop around the map and just dragging a dead body to see how far it will go, and like it'll hit the train track, or it'll hit like a rock or something, and then it like goes flying. Whoa, got some air on that one.
And then we, like, a random got on the train with us, and we're like, hey, like, look at this thing that we're doing.
Yeah. He stood behind me as I'm driving the train, and I'm like, no, go do the thing. So Peter, like, switched out of chat real quick. He goes and tells the guy, like, no, come here, man. I want to show you something. Takes him to the back of the train where Justin's dragging a body along. Like he's marlin fishing or something.
And then we go through a tunnel and we both like turn our lanterns on, and Justin's like, oh, thanks.
We should have all went in voice chat on that one, just because I want to do that again. Like, I love teaching randos about our sick ways of playing the game.
Like, our goal is just to end up like on Reddit someday where some guy's like, yeah, I just ran into these weirdos on Red Dead.
Yeah. We're sick. We're really fucking disturbed.
It's pretty sick.
I mean, they're not real people.
I know. How lifelike is it when the dead body's dragging?
It's pretty lifelike. I mean, judging from personal experience.
It's usually my body.
Judging from the personal experience of dragging dead bodies. Have you ever tried it with a live body?
Like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I got dragged.
Yeah, the rando did that to you, right?
Yeah, I got dragged, and I think I got killed about like 5 minutes into it.
Usually what my challenge
five
is...
5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is. Usually my challenge is to like stand on the back of the train and try to lasso somebody, like a random NPC who's like on their horse waiting for the train to pass. I'll like... Hey, buddy, come here. Droomp. And just yoink right off the fucking horse. So, yeah, it's a lot of fucking fun. I think we both need psychiatric help, though. You're getting psychiatric help. I'm not.
And yeah. Here's Justin, so you know.
Well, I don't talk about that, you know, in sessions.
Like a healthy way to deal with stuff. It's a video game.
Yeah, I mean, I can get my
It's not lifelike enough to be a concern.
Yeah,
I would think.
I think one of my favorite things is like as we're passing through like Saint-Denis, it's basically a New Orleans town. We're passing through and like you kind of go through different areas of town and like there's like the nice downtown area and the train will go past like the docks and then it goes through like the poor part of town and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna fuck with these people. These people have a hard enough time. Like, no, these are like
people
the oppressed
are too poor.
These are the oppressed black people in the South.
Characters are too poor for me to.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fuck the rich.
Or like we'll shoot everybody in town, but then be like, oh, I shot a horse on accident. I feel bad.
Like, yes. Like, oh, goddammit, I'm sorry, horse. I think I've actually used my horse tonics to like revive horses of the lawmen that I've shot. I feel bad.
And then on the train, if there's like a big like cliff or something that we're going over, I'll just jump off and be like, I'm getting the soul stone.
Yes. Oh my god, I have to pee. I moved and now I have to fucking pee. Do the fucking Kegels again.
Oh no.
Clinch.
Oh, you're not gonna have to take a break in like our last 5 minutes of recording.
No. Okay. I'll just pee myself. It's fine. Would not be the first or last time I have to piss on a podcast.
I wish I could play video games because this sounds like a lot of fun. But alas, I cannot play video games.
I was going to say, just do it and join us. But like for Red Dead, you have to do like this whole fucking mission to.
I can't play video games. You guys know what happened when I tried to play GTA with you.
It didn't work out so well.
I couldn't pass the tutorial.
Yeah.
I can't pass tutorials. So I can't play. So sorry, guys.
I really have to fucking pee. Oh my god. Ouch. I drank this whole fucking thing of water.
Let's talk about something that we've got to talk about that's important. So that we can get
yeah, more. Speaking of Red Dead.
of Red Dead.
Bell and Dubs, you really want to go write for Bell and Dubs? And the reason, and in doing that, you've got to audition, people.
Yes. Like, okay, this is what I don't get. It's like, say we've got, we put it out to people to who've already done the show. You know, here's our cast list. Here's what the roles that you can do. Fucking do this shit. And they were like, well, I got dibs on this. I got dibs on this. And I'm like, you can't have dibs this time. Like, we want you to give us a sample because, like, nothing turned out bad last time, but I definitely felt like afterwards, I was like, you know what? If we had, like, opened this up to people, if we weren't trying to keep it so secretive, we could have, like, seen what talents our friends have. Like, people can do all these voices that we didn't know that they had fucking great voices up their sleeve, you know? So we're like, let's open it up to like more of an audition process. We'll put the whole list out. You guys can choose what you want to do. And I put the list out. They try to call dibs. I'm like, just wait. We'll do auditions in a bit. couple weeks goes by and I'm like, okay, you can audition now. Crickets. Guys, fucking audition, man. Well, like,
wait, I will say this. When you put out the call for auditions, it was right before Christmas.
Okay. Okay, so then
maybe just
that's
like
fair.
Make another and make a new post and say maybe everybody had missed this, but auditions are now open. Please take a look.
I think I have a plan because there's a couple roles in particular that I really want filled. There's the mayor is going to be in like almost every episode. The very first episode had the one of the main characters needs to be filled because like the minute we stop writing, we need to start recording. Mm-hmm. And I want to have like the first couple of episodes at least ready to start recording immediately. Even if like, it might even get to a point that like if writing is starting to lag, we might start recording before we're even done. So, you know, and I'm not like limiting people to like have only one role. Unless like for like, you know, Peter, I think I mentioned this to you, like you and me, Justin, Charlene, people who are going to be in every episode, it's going to be a little bit harder for us to have an extra, like we might be able to do an audience member or something here and there, but you, what I'm saying is you can do more than one. So don't feel like you got to wait for the whole list to come out and then choose your one role. Like whatever speaks to you, call the number and do the thing.
Well, also don't be intimidated by the word audition. Mm-hmm. Like just like if we say like, okay, this might not work for you, but we may have something else in mind, like seeing what you're capable of.
Exactly. So like, even if you are not sure, like if you look at that fucking list, cause there's a lot on there, you look at that list and say like TLDR, I don't know what to do for any of this shit. I don't feel like reading this. Just call the number and just do some wacky voices that you wanted to test out. And we'll be like, oh, that'll be perfect for this or something, you know, like maybe we can find something for you. So yeah, don't be intimidated. Like, we want it to be fun and not like stressful for anybody, but I need to get these fucking roles filled. So,
and you also need to pee.
Yes. Well, thanks for reminding me. I had completely fucking forgotten. So yeah, like do the thing. I'll put a number of notes up or whatever. Actually, do I have the number handy? I don't know. Maybe. Talk amongst yourselves. Well, look for the fucking number. Oh, 661-214-3038. And you just leave us a voicemail and just do some voices, man. We'll find you some shit. Oh, shit. We're running out of time.
Yes.
Hey, we're Mouthy Broadcast. MouthyBroadcast.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. At Mouthy Broadcast, and you can donate money to us on Patreon too. Yeah, you can call us 757-541-CUNT. We'll see you next Tuesday, motherfuckers.
Bye, everybody.
Bye bye.
You ever seen a pig's ass on a thong? Thick AF.
Juicy.
Just had to get that in there.
Yeah, you did. Get it in there, girl.